Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group, where we all come together and help one another to, again, choose again, to choose for the Holy Spirit. So let's join together for a couple of breaths in that quiet, loving space that we all share within. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all right. Again, welcome, everybody. We are picking up where we left off last week, so we are midsection. In the Sparkle Edition, it's page 230. It would be the very, very, very last paragraph on that page. The sentence starts, "You do not realize how much you have denied yourself." In the original edition, it is on page 193, or another way of finding it is chapter 9, paragraph 101, also begins with, "You do not realize how much you have denied yourself." And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 191. It's actually chapter 10, paragraph chapter 10, part 5, paragraph 10. So again, that's page 191 of the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. You do not realize how much you have denied yourself is how it starts. So just to quickly recap, we've been reading in the section called The Denial of God, and it's been talking about how we have made a choice to turn away from God, and therefore, illusions of sickness, illusions of death have entered our mind because we chose to not remember what we truly are. And that's really a nutshell. It said more, but I'll leave it at that. So, okay, so let's take it paragraph at a time, and we'll talk and chat as we go. You do not realize how much you have denied yourself, and how much God, in his love, would not have it so. Yet he would not interfere with you because he would not know his son if he were not free. To interfere with you would be to attack himself, and God is not insane. When you denied him, you were insane. Would you have him share your insanity? God will never cease to love his son, and his son will never cease to love him. That was the condition of his son's creation, fixed forever in the mind of God. To know that is sanity. To deny it is insanity. God gave himself to you in your creation, and his gifts are eternal. Would you deny yourself to him? And I'll pause there. So before I say anything, I just want to see, does anybody have any sentences that stand out to you, anything that comes up as we read that first paragraph?
Sentence two.
Which was?
Yet he would not interfere with you because he would not know his son if he were not free.
Mm.
So free will, mm-hmm. whether we believe it or not, God, free will, whether we want to believe that we are one with God or not, it's still mm-hmm. so, and mm-hmm. it's up to us to kind of, like, God's not going to force that knowing upon us.
Yeah. Oh, that's so important and so huge. I like how you said that, too, that God isn't going to force that knowing on us. It's up to us to want to know it again. Yeah, that's a big one. God, it says in the Course, God honors even our miscreations and is not going to, you know, destroy them or tamper with them because we made them, and God honors even our miscreations because we have that free will.
Corinne, this one line is so interesting. Yet he would not interfere with you because he would not know his son if he were not free. He would not know his son if his son were not free.
Right.
Is that?
Yes. Yes, that's how I read that. So it's we have that free will, and if God took that away from us, God, that is impossible. God only knows us as free, because that's how we were created, as having that free will to decide in any given moment.
I had such an interesting experience yesterday, being with a family member who is who I am not in sync with in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a lot of judgments in my mind in her presence, and actually became very fearful of some of the things that she was saying. And I wasn't the only one. And there was a great contrast in this situation, because other family members the same age are great achievers, they're going off to Europe, they're succeeding in all of these different endeavors, and this other one is just going in the opposite direction big time. But at any rate, I found myself in a very, very judgmental place. And when I left that situation, I thought, oh, my God, as a Course in Miracles student, oh, I have fallen on my face here. You know, oh, now not only was I judging her, but now I'm really beating myself up. And in the midst of all of that, just for a very short time, I felt such a sense of peace. It was, and what I realized later on is you can be peaceful regardless of what's going on around you, and nothing has to change. She doesn't have to change. You don't have to change. You don't have to be any different. Neither does he or she, whoever it is, you know, got you going. And I didn't have to do penance. I didn't have to suffer or be haunted by my words or her actions. I really am free, and so is she. This is the truth, and nothing but this is true.
Mm-hmm.
All mistakes, all the wrong choices, all the madness means absolutely nothing.
Oh, Paula, that's so perfect.
It means nothing. And God loves her, him, she, and it equally. It was so neat, because it was just a fleeting moment of really intense peace that I felt in all of that. And I'm so grateful.
That's so awesome. It's those little moments that we have in those situations that are such profound experiences and teachers that really strengthen our trust. And you're absolutely right. You don't need to repent. You don't need to, it's not the truth. All that is not the truth. And to just simply step out of that and have that experience of that peace, that's so beautiful. That's a really, really, really powerful example. It's almost like the holy instant. It's that instant where it just all falls away. And what you're left with is peace.
I think earlier in the week, lesson 135. I'm not exactly sure what that is at this point in time. But, oh, boy, there were a few paragraphs in there that, about how God loves us in, with this intensity. And I think that really, because I when I was reading it, I just thought, oh, my God, I can't even imagine this kind of love for myself or anybody else. So I think it really helped me in that situation
like
on some level, like you know. This work is so powerful.
It is, isn't it? Deidre, did you have anything to add? I feel like I heard you for a moment.
Oh, no, I was just letting someone that walked in the room know that I'm on a phone call.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't know if you wanted to chime in. So, oh, Paula, thank you so much for sharing that. That super, super powerful example. It's that idea, too, that comes forward to me. That's you. That was a demonstration of not believing the picture, that picture, whatever it looks like, you know, whatever form it takes, that the Course is teaching us to not believe the picture because it's just that. It's a picture.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anybody else have anything to add before we move on? I'll just highlight too, the sentence, when you denied him, you were insane. Would you have him share your insanity? God will never cease to love his son, and his son will never cease to love him. So that has remained God loving us. Like, Paula, like what you just described about that lesson that you read, where it was almost like, you know, you could hardly fathom that intense love that God has for us. That's unchanged.
Yeah.
That is still there, and we return that love back. And it's just that love that we have chosen to forget. So that's what we're learning how to remember. And to know it is sanity, and to deny it is insanity.
Is insanity, exactly.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'll just share before I read the next paragraph was a thought that came to me over the weekend, and it was that whenever we experience any fear, any sickness, any pain, any conflict, any lack, whatever that is, God does not know it. God does not know pain. God does not know sickness. God does not know conflict or lack. And so if we're experiencing those things, we are separating ourselves from God right now. It's not, again, a choice that we made long ago. We're making that choice right now in this moment. And that's where we have that power to choose again. Okay, so next paragraph. Out of your gifts to him, the kingdom will be restored to his son. His son removed himself from his gift by refusing to accept what had been created for him and what he himself had created in the name of his Father. Heaven waits for his return, for it was created as the dwelling place of God's Son. You are not at home anywhere else or in any other condition. Do not deny yourself the joy which was created for you, for the misery you have made for yourselves. God has given you the means for undoing what you have made. Listen, and you will learn what you are. Lots of other good nuggets in this paragraph. I love even just the first sentence, out of your gifts to him, so out of our gifts to God, out of our gifts to love, the kingdom, the awareness of heaven will be restored to everyone because we are God's one son. So that's our little part by simply choosing for the Holy Spirit, by choosing once again, out of our gifts back to our gifts to God or to love, we're restoring our awareness to all. So that's, again, that expression. Another way of saying that the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for ourselves. Other sentences or anything else that comes up for anyone in this paragraph? So this second sentence, it says, his son removed himself from his gift which by refusing to accept what had been created for him and what he himself had created in the name of his Father. So again, there's that sort of highlight again that this was a choice that we made and that heaven simply is waiting for our return. Even though we haven't actually left, and I love how it says you're not at home anywhere else or in any other condition. There's a very simple, clear put line in the Course that says, with a period, this world is not your home. And that's always been very comforting to me, especially, you know, when you see things, horrible things on the news, because that's all that's on the news, but it's always just a nice reminder for me that this world is not our home.
Hi, Corinne. This is Priscilla.
Hi, Priscilla.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good. I missed the first 5 minutes, and I was also having a little bit of trouble with my phone while you were speaking the previous sentence about the atonement, and I'm wondering if you can give a short review of what is meant by atonement.
Absolutely. So the atonement is, there's a couple ways that we can think about it, and I've heard atonement referred to as at-one-ment. So it's that state of being one with God. Atonement is also referred to in the Course as the undoing of fear. So atonement is our way out. It's the undoing of all the mistakes that we've made in our minds so we fully remember the love that we all are.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I like that at one minute. It makes it easy to remember. Anything else coming up for anybody so far? I also like the reminder, too, where it says, do not deny yourself the joy which was created for you for the misery you have made for yourself.
You know, and that's so interesting because there's a real worthiness issue there.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're when you are in that place of denying the joy. You know, I think there's always that underlying feeling, and it's not even obvious a lot of the time. You know. I'm just not really worthy of all that good
right.
and all that joy. So, you know, I must have to do something to be worthy of that.
That's so important to allow to come up to the surface because it is there. That's the ego, you know, obviously telling us that we're not worthy of this. This is the ego's you know, false humility. And the only way that we can let it be undone is if we let it come up and we look at it with the Holy Spirit. So catching those moments when it does come to the surface, because I agree with you, Paula, it's out of our awareness a lot of the time. Catching it when we can and looking at it, you know, bringing it to the Holy Spirit is the way, again, to work
towards healing. I was at a graduation this weekend at this really very prestigious school out in Pennington, and they were handing out awards, you know, and really promoting achieving and all of this, and which is wonderful, you know, in many ways. But if you're not a big achiever, you know, when we're raised to make these comparisons, we can be very hard on ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, but I mean, at this point in my life, I'm glad I don't have to be so concerned with that. But I could see, you know, some of those kids who were graduating or feeling those comparisons. So, but the world really teaches this craziness at every turn.
There
so
to reinforce it. Yep. Yeah, that's why I feel like, what was that?
I was having a conversation this weekend with a friend who asked me to help her with her resume, and she was saying, you know, she was feeling really down on herself because she felt like she hadn't achieved what she felt she should have achieved by a certain age. And I just said to her, you know, there's right now in this moment, you're perfect, you're divine, and there's no struggle and there's no need to, you can do those things, but you don't have to judge yourself because
right.
you haven't done those things yet.
Right.
And she looked at me like I had 10 heads. So, yeah, I shared it with her because my spirit led me to, but she was, I don't know how ready she was to believe that.
Right, right.
And, you know, the Course says, you know, I like how, I forget his name sometimes, Earl Purdy.
Earl Purdy?
Yeah, how he says, you know, you don't have to believe me. So I told her, you know, you don't have to believe me, but you can experiment with these ideas.
Right, right.
See what
yeah.
happens.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, it just, I mean, after you've been listening perhaps to the ego for so long and thinking one way that to hear something different, they are going to look at you like you have 10 heads. And so you felt moved to share that. And so that's beautiful that you listened and put that out there because I like how you said that also. She doesn't have to believe you, but she can certainly maybe experiment with those thoughts and see what they do.
I can definitely relate this week to being looked at like you have 10 heads.
Really?
Yeah. On the level of form this week, I had a very interesting week. There was a fire at my house.
Oh, wow.
And so on the level of form in the dream, there's quite a bit of damage to the house. And but everybody got out, which is beautiful. And I know it's all divinely orchestrated, you know, like the timing was perfect and everybody was completely not injured.
Wow.
And so I'm going through the whole like process with insurance adjusters now, and I'm looking for a new place to live. And the guy, my insurance adjuster, comes to meet me because the day of the fire was Friday, so I went to my dad's place. And this is the side of my family who are not Course students, and I think I've shared before on the calls that I don't talk really, like they know I'm an intuitive coach, but they don't really understand what intuitive means because I don't talk about psychic and chakras and things because it's not a comfortable conversation for that part of my family. And so one family member kept looking at me during like the day of the fire, and she's like, "You have nothing to say? Like, your house just burnt down. You're not crying? You're not upset?" Like, she was like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, literally, she's like, "What's wrong with you? Like, don't you have a reaction?" And I basically said, you know, there's nothing I can do about anything that has seemingly occurred. I said to her, maybe 3 years ago, I would have been a completely anxiety-ridden mess, but it's because of the spiritual education that I've had that I'm able to stay rooted in trust and being calm. And I said, there's nothing outside of me that can hurt me. And she flat out said, "I don't agree with that. I believe things can hurt you." And I didn't say anything. And it's been like exchanges like that the whole weekend. Like, my family doesn't understand like how I'm able to stay calm. The only really like reaction I've had to anything is I had one little emotional outburst to a reaction to some a conversation that I had with a family member where she was expressing feeling hurt over something, and I had a little moment where I was like, did I cause this? And then I had a little tinge of guilt, and then I was able to let it go. But as for the fire, it's just been like complete exercise in lesson 109, which is I rest in God.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, like literally I've had everything coming to me without having to ask for it. Like as soon as I met the adjuster, I knew that this man was an angel, you know, and then I've got restoration people taking, like, literally the same day I was lined up with restoration company.
Wow.
And they, the next morning, they called me, you know, out of the blue, but we know this is a miracle. And they're like, oh, here's a check for $250 so you can buy toiletries and groceries. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so awesome. You know, like,
wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Do you have a place to stay now?
I'm staying with my mom at the moment, but no, I don't. But I'm just trusting that everything is going to present itself.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Deidre, oh. This is just, I'm again just so moved. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so glad that you and everybody are okay. When you told me that you're, I don't know who it was that said, what's wrong with you? Like, why aren't you upset? The immediate thought that came to me is, what's right with you?
Yeah.
What's
exactly
right with you that, you know, you are centered and grounded in peace despite external appearances that look, you know, really not good. You're doing obviously something right. And so that, it's funny, you brought up some memories of being in situations where people have flat out, you know, it was a course quote that I was with some college friends and we were looking through this book and it was, nothing can hurt you unless you give the power to do so. And the person that was with me flat out said, just like you said, I disagree with that. And it's so funny because you didn't argue, you know, I didn't argue either. The most powerful, powerful teacher in that is simply by living it, which is exactly what you're doing. And so that is what, you know, is going to be remembered, that you chose a different path, a different way.
Well, and something that Lisa Natoli told me once really helped because she said something to the effect of, and I might not get her wording exactly, but she said, when people are living in fear, mm-hmm. they're uncomfortable with happiness and comfort. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's like, in other words, it was another way of her saying, like, when you are really practicing the course and other people react to you, like, don't take it on. And that's mm-hmm. been one of my biggest life lessons because I am so sensitive. I tend to, because I feel everything. That's a big part of my intuition. So whenever I'm, you know, so it's just been a really good learning thing for me.
Oh, wow. And, you know, as you were just sharing that about, you know, what Lisa Natoli said and, you know, people being uncomfortable with that happiness, it reminded me of the course quote that says, when you do not share a thought system, you're weakening it, and those who believe in that thought system will perceive it as an attack upon them. So
that's totally it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that is in the course?
Yeah. I can find it for you.
Okay, thank you.
I can definitely, even probably before the end of the call, I can locate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Wow.
Because I think that was the other part when I mentioned the conversation where I had a moment where I reacted to the person's reaction. Mm-hmm. That was because they were responding to me like I was attacking them, and that's what bothered me. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you said is really key there.
I have the reference. I can get the reference in the Sparkle Edition in just a moment, but in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it is Chapter 6, Part 5, Section B, Paragraph 1. Sorry.
Okay, I only have the Sparkle. So.
Oh, okay, I'll find it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, the line is, what you must recognize is that when you do not share a thought system, you are weakening it. Those who believe in it therefore perceive this as an attack on them. This is because everyone identifies himself with his thought system, and every thought system centers on what you believe you are. If the center of the thought system is true, only truth extends from it. But if a lie is at its center, only deception proceeds from it.
Okay, that is really helpful.
Wow. That's so
thank
helpful.
You.
You're very welcome. I will... I'll definitely find it before the end of the call in the Sparkle Edition as we keep sharing. So,
thank you.
Yes, thank you. Amazing, amazing, super powerful example. I can't thank you enough for sharing. Oh, and look at that. I found it already. In the Sparkle Edition, it's on page 134. It would be the very last paragraph on page
134. And I'll just mention to you, because some of you know my dog, she's fine.
Oh, good. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear
excellent.
That. Wow, what lessons and things are coming up this week? We've had a busy week, haven't we? Many opportunities to practice the course, as we said when we started.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, let's take the next paragraph. We have a few paragraphs left, and we'll be finishing Chapter 9 tonight. And we're actually already, if you're following in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, we've already been in Chapter 10, but we'll be finishing up Chapter 9 in the Sparkle. All right, so where am I? If God knows his children as wholly sinless, it is blasphemous to perceive them as guilty. If God knows his children as wholly without pain, it is blasphemous to perceive suffering anywhere. If God knows his children to be wholly joyous, it is blasphemous to feel depressed. All of these illusions and the many other forms which blasphemy may take are refusals to accept creation as it is. If God created his son perfect, that is how you must learn to see him, to learn of his reality. And as part of the sonship, that is how you must see yourself, to learn of yours.
What is that noise?
I hear the wind or something.
Yeah, if anybody has, if you're had some background noise or maybe it was somebody breathing into the phone. if anybody's outdoors or has that, oh, thank you so much. Somebody just put their line on mute. I'm not sure if that was it or not. I think I still hear it a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Is that you? I think it's actually Priscilla. I think it might be your line.
I'm not outdoors.
No? Okay, maybe it's could it be the position of your microphone or a fan
it's
or...
possible. Hold on a second. Bear with
okay,
me
thank
here.
You so much. Thank you. I have a little screen, like I've mentioned before, where I can see where sound is coming from, so it could be helpful. Anyway, so this is loaded with blasphemy of perceiving things that we see in the world all the time. So it's saying that if God knows his children is wholly without pain, to perceive suffering anywhere is blasphemous. And so what does that mean but except that we're just looking at something without God? We're denying God and instead looking with the ego instead. So we have to learn how to accept creation as it is, because when we refuse to see it as it is, that's when we see all these false idols, these false images. I really like the sentence where it says, all of these illusions and the many other forms which blasphemy may take are refusals to accept creation as it is. And again, that's a refusal right now. It's not a refusal that we did a long time ago. It's something that we're actively refusing in this given moment. So that's where our willingness becomes so important, to simply choose again with the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering what is present for anybody. And Priscilla, whatever you changed worked, so thank you. anybody have anything come up for you in this paragraph?
Yes, I had to mute it because I'm not sure what else I can do. But if I need
to. Oh, okay.
I'll just.
Well, you sound good right now.
Okay. I'm having a little trouble with the phone today, so bear with me.
Gotcha. Oh, thank you so much. So anybody have anything else come up for you in this paragraph?
Well, just that it is challenging at times, you know, to maintain that lack of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting caught up in the world.
Yeah,
but,
and
you
it's,
know,
again, oh, go on.
Again, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
fine.
It is fine. It is totally fine. And if we try to correct it ourselves, we're going to get overwhelmed and feel like it's really hard. And it's as simple as, I mean, Paula, when you were in that situation that you described earlier and you suddenly had that peace come forward, you didn't really do anything, right? It sounded like it just sort of happened.
I didn't even turn to the Holy Spirit. Nothing. It was just so obvious to me all of a sudden.
Well, but you've been
obvious.
Turning to the Holy Spirit. And so that's when, you know, when we work ourselves into a place of meeting the conditions of peace, it might not seem like we made a choice for the Holy Spirit, and yet suddenly we have that experience, that really powerful, you know, peaceful experience, because you work this all the time.
Oh, God, yeah. And it's so worth it.
It's so worth it, isn't it?
It really is so worth it. But it was wonderful, you know, to realize, you know, that not guilty, that we're just
mm-hmm.
not guilty of anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's where peace sits. That's where peace is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nobody's done anything wrong.
And again, those tiny beliefs in our mind that there have been injustices and there have been things that we've done wrong. It's all, you know, those are all of our mistaken thoughts. And as each one surfaces, if we just take that split second to say, I'm willing to see this differently, here you go. And handing it to the Holy Spirit, that's where we're learning to see the perfection, the love that's in everybody.
You know, I always, prior to this awakening, it was really, in a sense, an awakening. Don't let me lose this. There was a feeling, you know, that I really had to do something. I really had to do something. Damn it, it's slipping from my mind. You know, it's that I don't have to do anything. I don't have to, you know, there was always the fear, well, I just can't put myself in this position again. I can't go back to this. I don't want to be near that person again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that was really the most peaceful thing, because I will go around in my head, you know, and torment myself with, oh, well, now that's not a very spiritual thing to, you know, that. No, you don't have to make any decisions whatsoever.
It sounds like you laid down your agenda. You laid down your judgment and just set it right down. You were done with it.
Yeah. I mean, we're really free to do absolutely nothing about it,
mm-hmm.
about them or ourselves. We're free. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That girl can... She is just totally free to be who she is, and in turn, so am I. But I'm not if I don't make her free.
Right.
If I don't let her go, her, he, she, it, again, you know, if we don't let them go, we literally imprison ourselves.
And that reminds me of exactly the last two sentences that we read. If God created his son perfect, that is how you must learn to see him, to learn of his reality. And as part of the sonship, that is how you must learn to, that is how you must see yourself to learn of yours.
Mm-hmm.
That just reminds me of that.
That was today's lesson, giving and receiving.
Mm.
So to have it, you've got to give it.
Mm-hmm.
So to know peace, you have to give peace.
Awesome. That's perfect. Let's take the next paragraph. Do not perceive anything God did not create, or you are denying him. His is the only fatherhood, and it is yours only because he has given it to you. Your gifts to yourself are meaningless, but your gifts to your creations are like his because they are given in his name. That is why your creations are as real as his. Yet the real fatherhood must be acknowledged if the real son is to be known. You believe that the sick things which you have made are your real creations because you believe that the sick images you perceive are the sons of God. This is a big one. The first sentence, do not perceive anything God did not create or you are denying him. And we can't do that of ourselves. Again, this is where the course is so repetitive and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but we can't do this by ourselves because the body's eyes are going to report to us that separation. Anything coming up for anybody?
Yeah, Corinne, what does it mean by fatherhood?
So that's acknowledging that we did not create ourselves, that God created us. And it's not referring to God creating the body, but that God created the sonship, the one mind that we all are. And by acknowledging that we are acknowledging that God is the creator and that we are extensions of God, and that as we allow love, God, through us, that extension continues, and that is what the Course is referring to as our creation. So it's our willingness to let that love, with a capital L, continue to extend through us, because then that's how it talks about, you know, how heaven or how love just keeps growing and is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question about fatherhood?
Not quite, because it says, only if you accept the fatherhood of God will you have everything, because his fatherhood gave you everything. Yes and no, I suppose, yeah. But I'm still, fatherhood, is it oneness? The fatherhood is also oneness.
Yeah, you can think of it that way too. And also, you know, with the term fatherhood, it's motherhood, parenthood. It's not it's not gender specific.
Creator or creations.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Again, it could go back to love. His is the
Absolutely.
Only love. And it is yours only because he has given it to you.
Perfect, perfect.
Always
that.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
Simplifies.
Yeah, it's a,
it
oh,
sure
so
does.
When I look at it that way, Paul, only if you accept the love of God will you have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even
and
that sentence,
you,
yep. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
Go
just going to say, and we can co-create with our Creator God when we're extending love.
Yep.
Yes. And the sentence where it says, yet the real fatherhood must be acknowledged if the real son is to be known, yet the real love, with the capital L, must be acknowledged if the real son is to be known. That, to me, speaks to, you know, the type of love that's not of this world, not special love, but that love of God, love of truth, love with capital L. And in that is how we know ourselves. It's perfect to substitute love for fatherhood. That's helpful.
Yeah, substituting love for any word in the course is really helpful.
Right? It sure is. Let's read the next paragraph. Again, I'll read fatherhood, but think love with capital L. Only if you accept the fatherhood of God will you have anything, because his fatherhood gave you everything. That is why to deny him is to deny yourself. Arrogance is the denial of love, because love shares and arrogance withholds. As long as both appear to you to be desirable, the concept of choice, which is not of God, will remain with you. While this is not true in eternity, it is true in time, so that while time lasts in your minds, there will be choices. Time itself was your choice. I'm just going to finish the paragraph. If you would remember eternity, you must learn to look only on the eternal. If you allow yourselves to become preoccupied with the temporal, you are living in time. As always, your choice is determined by what you value. Time and eternity cannot both be real because they contradict each other. If you will accept only what is timeless as real, you will begin to understand eternity and make it yours.
Oh, boy, that last sentence. What do you think of that, Corinne?
The last sentence. If you will accept only what is timeless as real, you will begin to understand eternity and make it yours.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just simply saying if we'll accept again what is timeless, that if we'll accept again, you know, eternity, it becomes understandable to us and we'll own it again. We won't be denying it. I guess it's a good, it makes me think just the title of the section is the denial of God. So as we stop denying God and start denying this ego, you know, realm instead, we understand eternity again and own it. We claim it again as ours because it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Could that, if you will accept only the present moment as real?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Because that's really where timelessness sits.
It's only now. Yeah, thank you, Paul. I feel like that's an important addition. Anything else? What else came up for you with the last two paragraphs that we read? And I think in the FIP edition, this might be part of, I don't know if these are two different paragraphs or the same paragraph, but in these sentences, did anything come up for anyone else?
What time and eternity, like that concept, I think it's referring to what's really real within us is the Christ within us and not our bodies.
Absolutely.
So there's a line in here. It mentions something temporal. Oh, if you allow yourself to become preoccupied with the temporal, you are living in time. So anytime I'm not focused on what I and what you really are, I'm living in time.
Oh, boy, that's the big problem.
I was just thinking, too.
Oh, boy, that's it.
think about the body also. That's in the temporal, you know, if you become preoccupied with it, which what are we doing a lot of the day except being preoccupied? Is the body comfortable? Is it fed? Is it watered? Got to take it to the bathroom, got to clean it, got to dress it. If we're, you know.
How many calories did I feed it?
So we're living in time then. And yet, as we talked about last time, the body is also, you know, given to the Holy Spirit. It can become, it helps us to transcend it. So it's actually a useful learning device. And we can't feel guilty for feeling about or even acknowledging all the things that we are preoccupied with in time, because if we just allow even the slightest bit of guilt to enter about that, that's more ego breeding ground. And so it again just goes back to this moment by moment, you know, choice that we can choose with the Holy Spirit to see everything differently and to not hang on to our own, you know, beliefs, ideas, being set in our ways, that kind of thing.
I just want to ask the group, you can help me with this. I've been practicing this week, a lot of unworthiness came up because I was able to see a lot of deep unconscious guilt. So I've been working with, which is part of the collective consciousness, I've been working with the guilt and seeing how guilt is, how that is, for me, is connected to the feeling of unworthiness and that guiltless, that guilt is what, it's the glue that keeps the ego going. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to touch that by myself. So I've really been, other than just reminding myself throughout the day, I'm guiltless and I'm innocent. But I was wondering if people could just tell me a little bit about what the Holy Spirit, how do you give something, each person, just how do you give something to the Holy Spirit? Do you say an affirmation, a prayer?
Oh, page 90.
Page 90.
Page 90.
Yeah.
Page 90 is truly the answer. Do you agree, Corinne?
We're referring to page 90 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. It's that prayer, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. And it goes on from there. But I would add something else too, but I absolutely agree with you, Paula, that's huge.
Because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of a wrong decision if we will let him.
Yes,
and
so what I'm asking is, you gave me this, and I just saw why you gave me that, because at the very end, and I've got it marked in pink and in yellow, the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, for me, the Course is very energetic. I try to stay out of my head. And sometimes it really is just the slightest. I don't even verbalize it mentally or physically. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering what other people do when they are inviting the Holy Spirit to assist.
I just say, help!
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
You can you just say, I could choose peace instead of this.
Okay, I could choose peace instead of this. Okay, all right, this is all great.
Such a good question. I used to say to myself, I give this to you, Holy Spirit. Now, because it feels to me like it requires even less effort, I say,
yeah,
I'm willing to look at this with you, Holy
yeah.
Spirit. So
these are all great. Thank you all.
For me,
thank you
for asking that question.
Deirdre, do you have, you're very intuitive, do you have something you could?
And I think Carol's sharing.
Okay.
Oh. That's okay. I usually just say, Holy Spirit, help me to be willing to be willing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Holy Spirit, help me to be willing to be willing. Okay.
Put some kind of gratitude in front of whatever I'm asking or talking to Spirit about or showing or looking. I say, thank you for looking at this with me, or thank you for helping me with this, or thank you for showing me the lesson. You know, thank you.
Well, thank you all. That was just all just another. I'm just looking for resourceful ways to hand things over more to the Holy Spirit, so it doesn't get boring. You know, these are all wonderful from Paula. I think it was Tony, Carol, and then Deirdre, and then Corinne. Yeah, thank you all very much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah, it was a fabulous question. The other one that I'll throw out there too that I've used before is the Ho'oponopono prayer that was talked about
yeah.
on the call before. But I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
It would be great to collect these.
That's why we record the call. So
yeah,
if we need to retrieve anything, we can listen to it.
I did have a question. I know we're close to time and we can table it, but I am wondering if any of you have experienced it becoming easier over time. I'm finding myself in a place where it requires repetition because it's because I'm not really releasing it. So I have to repeat it over and over again. So I'm wondering if anyone's had a similar experience, and also if it becomes faster.
I would say absolutely and absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
I relate to that, and yes, it gets easier. Anybody else?
Okay, good.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's like detox. So everything that you've buried within your ego's mindset is being brought to the light. So it's kind of like a detoxification process.
Mm-hmm. So true. Wow, thank you everybody so much. We're at the top of the hour, so we'll meet again next week. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you,
love
thank you,
to
thank
you
thank
all.
You, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you.